Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Trump administration issues an executive order relative to non-emergency hospital care and its cost. Healthcare consumers continue to experience frustration when trying to determine how much non-emergency hospital care will cost. Rising costs in this category has created a strong desire amongst consumers to price shop services between hospitals. This consumer desire and frustration has energized healthcare consumers to pressure the Trump administration in order to empower them with the best information available so that they can try and have their healthcare dollars go further than ever before. Joining us on the show at this time is Mike Tanner, senior fellow with the Cato Institute with an emphasis on healthcare. And Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Mike, the executive order, I think, comes about, as I just pointed out, a lot of healthcare consumers, their frustration in trying to figure out and price shop these services whenever able to do so in the very complex healthcare consumer world. The Trump administration issues this executive order. Where does that stand, and where do you think, how far do you think it can go?
Well, it's a step in the right direction. We do know that one of the problems with healthcare is that it's very difficult for consumers to act like consumers. You can't call up the local hospital and say, we're talking about, of course, non-emergency care, but call up and say, I'm going to have a knee replacement surgery. How much do you charge versus this other hospital? And so that I can go to the less expensive one. And the more knowledge we have, the better off we'll be as consumers. That said, it's very difficult for the hospitals to determine what they're going to charge because they negotiate different discount plans with every different insurer. Then the Medicare has a different plan, discount, and other government programs are different still. What you're basically requiring is that they post a sticker price on a car when nobody actually pays the sticker price. So it's still going to be very confusing and very difficult for the average consumer.
But doesn't this go a little bit further where they actually want or they desire the release of the information of what the negotiated amount is that they pay not only the vendor for a lot of these devices that are used in the orthopedic world and the example that you use, but also on the flip side as to what the insurance company is actually going to reimburse the hospital for their services?
Well, that's right. And, of course, we did need to make a difference between the actual cost of the service and sort of what the hospitals call their charges, which often includes a great many things that are not actually in the reimbursement rate. It'll remain to be seen, exactly whether or not this is implementable in the long run. I know there are a number of observers who think this is going to be very complex on the hospital side. Be a lot of red tape that's not going to provide a great deal of information. I do think it's a step in the right direction to the degree that consumers can actually know in advance how much something's going to cost. Right now, of course, we don't, until you see your insurance bill, you often don't have any idea what the insurance company actually paid or covered it. And I'm not sure if the hospitals are going to even have that information without knowing a great deal about your particular insurance plan.
Mike, you've been around for a long time. For the benefit of the listening audience, the executive order, step one, that's the easy part. Step two, which would be the rulemaking process, that's where, as Trump would say, the stench of the swamp comes in and things start to move one way or the other from lobbyists and what they're trying to accomplish. The American Hospital Association has already come out against this executive order, saying it's not going to lead to lower prices and it create much more of an administrative nightmare for them than it might be worth in the end.
Well, the question is exactly in the end what it is that they're going to be required to provide. If you call, for example, for that knee replacement surgery and the hospital says, well, we normally charge $2,000 for it, what's your insurance plan? And then you have to provide them with the insurance information. But then it's not just every, let's say, Aetna plan. It's your particular Aetna plan, which is negotiated a different type of discount because they're an in-provider network. And then, I mean, just imagine how much further down that can go before you get an actual number that's going to mean anything to you.
It would seem to me that the government might be in a position to accomplish more if they set out to, they themselves as one of the largest healthcare providers in the country, if not the largest, largest with Medicare and Medicaid, engage in this very activity and compel this to happen with them, because as you know, a lot of the reimbursement models are based on a percentage over and above Medicare.
Well, that's right. And if you could actually do the Medicare, which does not have quite as many moving parts in it, that would be a good start. And we'll see if they can do come out of that, out of the because Medicare does actually have prices that they reimburse for each type of procedure. So we have to actually see if they can use that as a basis for this. It certainly would be a good place to start. Rather than doing with private insurance. Ultimately, the problem is that we're dealing with a third-party payment system. There are many providers that now accept cash payment, and they are able to provide a simple cost per procedure because they're not dealing with all these different negotiated prices.
So what is the reluctance on the federal government's part from doing what we were just discussing with moving that ball, you know, down the lane, so to speak, first? And breaking down a lot of those barriers.
Well, I you know, bureaucracies move very slowly, number one. And number two, there's a lot of interest groups out there that that don't necessarily want transparency, that they benefit. I think doctors and hospitals benefit to some degree from the confusion.
Yeah. It would seem that there would be a move afoot as it relates to any number of things like medical devices and so forth that they could get their hands around from a price perspective, where there doesn't need to really be competition as it relates to the price point for that. Am I making sense? That for the benefit of the whole, the number is this. And no matter what system that you're going to go through, that device is going to cost X.
Well, that would be a very different system than we have today. I mean, and to some degree, that price X is based on how many customers you get to purchase item X. That's why insurance companies who are able to negotiate a discount based, in essence, on how many providers they're going to provide going through the system.
So when we go through this rulemaking process, correct me if I'm wrong, this could take months, but more likely it would take years.
Well, it's certainly going to take months. That is the minimum that's required under the Federal Register, the way these things work. It is very likely that we're going to see this held up along the way. I wouldn't expect to see this going into operation anytime in the next year or so, at least.
So we would be looking post-election for sure before any of this would be done. And if someone else is elected, the other party, that order is likely to change significantly.
It is likely to change, although this is something that has had bipartisan support in the past. So I do think that this idea of transparency is something that that's going to be looked at by either party.
Okay. Mike Tanner, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. Have a great week.
Anytime.
All right. It's Mike Tanner, senior fellow with the Cato Institute. He's got an emphasis on healthcare, kind of keeps his finger on the pulse of what's happening in D.C. relative to these issues. We'll talk more about this when we return. This is Newell on WWL. You know, you've often heard me say that information is power, and never more so than when healthcare consumers are trying to manage the cost of their healthcare, and this happens to consume more and more of their available dollars. And obviously, there's this pressure that's been put not only on Congress, but the Trump administration to do something. And the administration should be commended for coming forward with this executive order. And as I pointed out earlier, that's the first step. That's the easy one. The second step which is the difficult one, is, you know, the old cliche, the devil's in the details, where the rubber meets the road, could never be more true, because as it goes through the rulemaking process as to how they are going to implement the goals and the mission of the executive order, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not the administration and Congress is going to beat back on the healthcare lobbyists that want to try and influence this process. That's where I get a little bit more skeptical. Obviously, the amount of energy that's been put forth by healthcare consumers is driving this issue, and it needs to continue to put pressure on the administration and Congress. Otherwise, this rulemaking process is going to be one-dimensional. What works in the best interest of the industry, plain and simple. And hopefully, you know, at some point in time, the final words of the final chapter, that healthcare consumers can say, mission accomplished. There's a lot of already debate that was leading up to this executive order being issued. And, you know, as was pointed out by Mike Tanner, when it comes to the Medicare pricing, a lot of those negotiated rates are available to the public. For private insurers, though, they kind of look at this information as though it's a trade secret and that it should remain private, and that it has a lot to do with their marketing, their market penetration, their dominance in the market, where they get favored pricing. A lot of states now, if you look at Blue Cross, Blue Cross has, in some states, 100% of private insurance business, of market share. In other states, like Louisiana, probably greater than 70% market share. So not many options when dealing with the number of healthcare insurers that are available out there. All the more important as to why things like this need to ultimately be dealt with. You have system hospitals and standalone hospitals that are competing for the same. System hospitals obviously get preferred pricing from insurance companies and reimbursement rates because the ease of administration and dealing with one system with more patients. So they can spread those costs a lot easier. So therefore, they get preferred pricing. But if your doctor of choice is not in that particular system and you have someone else, that may be someone that began your treatment and so forth, and you feel comfortable in staying, in many cases, you're punished for that occurrence and you cannot deal with the preferred pricing or reimbursement that's given to the hospital providers by the insurance companies. Hopefully they try to find a middle ground in this rulemaking process. As I said before, already industry advocates have come out against revealing any of this information. And it would seem to me that it's not as difficult as one might otherwise think, because there are probably about 20 to 30 procedures inside of a hospital that makes up the majority of the income generated by the hospital. That may strike you as odd. But if you look at cardiology services as well as orthopedic services, those two lines of services make up the vast majority, in a lot of cases, of a lot of different hospitals as it relates to their profitable business. So you're not talking about that many procedures in trying to bring this together to make a difference for the healthcare consumer. Secretary Alex Azar pushes back on the industry executives' comments about this being trade secrets, and he says the following. Every time one of us goes to a hospital, within a couple of weeks, there arrives an EOB, otherwise known as an explanation of benefits, that contains the list price, the negotiated price, and your out-of-pocket cost. Azar went on to say, this is not some great state secret out there. That information is out there. It's there. It's on the EOB. It just needs to be presented to patients at the right time in the right format so it can help drive decision-making for them. If you can save $700 or $800 for a diagnostic procedure, whether it be an X-ray or whatever it may be, I think you would do so. Because in many cases, it's the same people that are reading those films. As to whether or not you do this inpatient, outpatient, or otherwise. But these things are never explained to the healthcare consumer on the front end. As hospitals across this country struggle to keep their head above water, they're less likely to become more transparent because the transparency doesn't work for the economic model in which they have set out their strategic plans. So you have a number of competing interests that needs to be resolved one way or another by the administration and certainly going through this rule-making process so that we can beat back medical inflation and beat back these increases in prices and try to get some normalcy and stability in healthcare in this country. Now, one might ask, well, Newell, why are you really on top of this issue? Because we're talking about, and one of the issues that's being put forth by the Democrats in this presidential election is Medicare for all. And having looked at that from any number of different perspectives, it doesn't work. And it won't work financially. And when we look at socialized medicine in other areas of the world, what we find and what we recognize in a very quick fashion is that we don't want to wait 7, 8, 9 months for a surgical procedure, nor do we want to wait that length of period of time that we are already in some markets experiencing waiting to see a physician that long. We don't want to be in a system that parches out so many diagnostic procedures that will be done at Institution A in this year that serves Population B. And then you and I end up competing to try and get into Institution A to get a service done. Is that the model that you want? Or do you want to be able to go to a point of service and receive your service when you need your service, as opposed to the government telling you when you will receive your service? Because that's how it works in other places that nobody wants to talk about. We'll be right back. That's right. We'd love to hear from you. 260-1870 or text 870-870. Are you one of those healthcare consumers that want to see this happen? I think it's something that needs to happen. And one of my primary motivations for that is to beat back what we call this Medicaid or Medicare for all. Because in order for that to work, there's going to be any number of limitations and provisions put in place that I don't think many of you as consumers are going to be happy with. It sounds great. It sounds awesome. Sounds like everything's free, but it's not free. And you're not going to get the service that you're accustomed to right now, and you're not going to be in a position to manage your health care in the way that you do now. By the choices, or I should say limited choices, that you have at the present time. If you think your choices are limited now, wait until that situation was ever to happen. You will move from having limited choices to having no choices. And if that's what you desire, then you would hope that this executive order then fails and there's not an ability to move forward in the rulemaking process, and it gets bogged down and everything else.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.